This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutan. With me, Melissa Idris, and guest hosting with us, Giri Balakrishnan, with the top business headlines of the day. We're going to begin with Khazana and who's going to be sitting in the hot seat now that Tan Sri Azman Mokhtar has left the building. Speculation is rife that EPF CEO, Dr. Shahrul Rizwan, will be the one filling that gap.
Well, you know, this is the lead story on the Edge Financial Daily today. And just about an hour ago, the Malaysian Insight has the headline, EPF Chief Shahrul Rizwan to be Khazana boss. It sounds quite direct and
definitive.
Yes, I was just about to say. I just want to quote this article here on Malaysian Insight. The source who spoke to Malaysian Insight confirmed the decision, saying that Shahrul will get the Khazana top job. And it could be announced as early as today, which is surprising because we were talking in this past few days about the other choices. You know, Shahrul is seen to be an outside choice for this top job.
Potential candidate. But he's done a fantastic job with the EPF, and that is reflected in the kind of dividends that have been paid out over the last 3 or 4 years, which has been significantly in excess of 6%. And that's quite an admirable achievement. The key objective being to maintain returns well above the national inflation rate, which I think is sitting on about 3%, give or take, depending on which set of statistics you believe. So he's done quite a good job.
Well, and if you want to go on that benchmark, then take a look at what Tan Sri Azman Mokhtar did with Khazana. If you're looking at, you know, Dato' Sri Shahrul's performance, you know, being able to maintain that dividend rate, Khazana's compounded annual growth rate is 9.6% per annum under the tenure of Tan Sri Azman Mokhtar. He grew the net value of its portfolio from 33 billion to 115 billion ringgit. That's 3.5 times more. Don't know whether any fund manager can match that, but, you know, that's the challenges thrown out there.
Well, you know, of course, there are other names in the mix because we don't know until they say
that's true.
The fat lady sings.
Story, yes.
Yeah. So Raja Shareen, Raja Othman, currently CEO of Selangor Menteri Besar Inc. Also, Dato' Yusuf Anwar Yaakob, CEO of Deutsche Bank Malaysia. Dato' Chairon Mokhzani, Group MD of Malaysian Industrial Development Finance. And also Mohamed Zafer, Mohamed Hisham, former CEO of Bank Pembangunan Malaysia. All of them and all these names have been mentioned thus far in a discussion of who best to lead the team going forward. But there are other issues as well about where Khazana is going to be parked, under what ministry, and therefore also which minister is represented on the board.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that's the front page of NST this morning, isn't it? Khazana and Patronas not under my ministry, according to Dato' Sri Azmin Ali. So if it's not going to be under the Ministry of Economic Affairs, and that means it has to remain under the finance ministry, right? So why is Azmin Ali on the board of Khazana National?
As opposed to the finance minister, Lim Guan Eng.
Yeah. Exactly. And speaking about the news on Khazana, you know, we've just been talking a couple minutes ago about this lingerie, this failed online lingerie deal, as how the local media has been framing it. 80 million ringgit in terms of a write-off from Khazana and the online lingerie company Zivame. I guess the kind of words that are being used to describe this has been quite emotive. Failed investment, right? Like, you know, millions ploughed into this failed investment. Knickers and bras and holes in knickers and bras is the front page of the Malay Mail. I think we should really put it into perspective. 80 million ringgit.
No, 80 million, a broader perspective, yeah. We're looking at an organization whose job is specifically to invest in a business or in ideas which potentially could generate more income or grow the asset base. Investments are investments. There are good investments, there are bad investments. The choices have to be made and built on certain conditions. And once these conditions are met, then you allow the business to grow and develop and produce the results that you anticipate in having invested in that company.
And sometimes it doesn't work out, right? So the idea of Zivame, if that's how you pronounce it, for this Indian online lingerie company, was to become India's Victoria's Secret, right? The market value for the lingerie market in India is $3 billion US. It's growing at a CAGR of 42% annually. That is impressive. So perhaps there were reasons for this. It didn't work out, and you know, sure, not sure the reasons for that. I'm sure Khazana has a whole breakdown of how that works out. But if you look at the grand scheme of things, how much is it that they've lost in this 80 million ringgit in terms of a percentage from the total, right? 0.3%.
Does this come back to basically the evolving remit of Khazana? It started out as a strategic investment company. Right? Yeah, and it's changed over time. So under Mahathir, who started it, then under Abdullah Ahmad Badawi, and then, of course, under Najib, it did change its strategy. So is Khazana today being measured against a very different yardstick? And is that why there is so much criticism? Because if you're taking it from, as you suggest, you know, from purely business point of view of, you know, growing your asset base or whatever, then why make a fuss about the lingerie business?
Well, that's exactly what it is. And I have to say that I personally don't think that the criticism is warranted. And I don't know why we're making such a big deal about this. Surely there are other concerns, but the fact that the media has chosen to play this up in such an emotive way, for me, feels like it's been
sensationalizing. They've got their knickers in the twist.
I agree with Melissa. You also got to consider that the investment confines that EPF has compared to Khazana is different. So actually comparing what Khazana does with EPF is, I think it's not really comparing apples with apples, because their investment landscape is significantly larger than what EPF is allowed to invest in. So we must look at it from that perspective
as
well.
That's a good point, yeah.
So and EPF, they're earning this money for the people. They're using the people's money, and they're returning these funds in terms of dividends to EPF holders. Whereas in the case of Khazana, they're holding on to whatever investments it may be, in whichever field it may be, as a vehicle to grow the wealth for the nation, which is a slightly different thing, a thin line between the two.
You know, so at the end of the day, it boils down to what is Khazana's mandate. And if we can't agree on that, then we cannot be measuring Khazana on different benchmarks, right? The yardsticks are completely different if you don't know what if we can't agree on what the mandate is.
Yeah, beyond Khazana as an institution, there are, of course, questions around Azman Mokhtar himself with quite an interesting write-up in The Edge this morning. On page 2, you'll see it, Azman Mokhtar's own statements about his meeting with Dr. Mahathir.
He finally met.
He did. In his exit, he said he was able to clear the air. He says that Dr. Mahathir was attentive and gave him the time to explain, and that, you know, despite the hurt, he says he feels it was unnecessary, he, you know, is ready to forgive, or something to that effect. And it seemed like, you know, very conciliatory parting words there from Azman Mokhtar on page 2 of The Edge this morning.
Apparently, it was a WhatsApp message that he sent to his friends.
Okay, let's move on to a Grab. We also have a discussion of how Grab is failing to attract more drivers onto its platform, and they're laying the blame at the question of regulatory changes that are uncertain at this point in time.
You know, this using the excuse that tighter regulation is preventing new people from joining onto this bandwagon, I think may not be really colouring the whole picture. We must also remember that the number of people who are actually getting onto the Grab workforce, as it were, has grown substantially. Because there are lots of stories going around, people saying that, you know, you can earn up to 10,000 ringgit a month as a Grab driver, which is not necessarily the entire truth. I mean, some people may be able to do that if they're working almost 24 hours a day.
Well, I think what that was a story from the early days of this ride-hailing business, right? When the incentives were very high, when, you know, the commissions were much lower. Today, the incentive structure has changed dramatically. There are very few incentives, as there are very few promos, I must add, as somebody who takes these things. The commission has gone up as well. So the share of the profits, more drivers has meant that the story doesn't make sense. sense anymore. It no longer has traction. But people are still making, well, some will say, I ask every day, at least twice a day, I ask, are you making money? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? The issue really at the end of the day is the landscape is changing on all levels. And some of it is driven by Grab's own policies, not just regulation.
Which is something that they didn't mention here, right? So when they're saying that they're seeing a decline or a drop in new driver registration, is it just because of the new regulations that have been announced by the Ministry of Transport? Is it to do with some of the changes in their own landscape? So, you know, these kind of things, I think, needs a little bit more clarity. They're saying that 80% of drivers are part-timers earning a supplementary income. And I think the new regulations, Grab claims, discourages part-time drivers from signing up.
And a majority of drivers being part-timers doesn't mean that we do not have or shouldn't have regulation. Regulation is very important because what kind of vehicles are you using? Are they licensed? Are the drivers licensed? These things are really important issues from perspective of safety and security, not only for the passengers, but also for other road users. So we need to be able to weigh this balance.
So the question is, for consumers, for the users of this service, are you worried about this statement, right? Are you worried about the lack of new drivers? How will this translate to users? And I'm wondering whether comments coming up from Grab will trigger some kind of reaction from users going, oh no, there are no drivers. Is that why it's...
Well, it does affect people like myself, who have to take, a car. I mean, it's whether it's my car or Grab or whatever that's available at 4 something in the morning, right? And when I talk to drivers, I say, why is it there seem to be fewer cars at that time? So, well, the incentive structures are such that there's no... they've just gamed it. They know it's pointless coming out that early in the morning because there are still cars. But for consumers, availability of cars and the speed at which you get a car is important. And that will change, I think, the nature of the business going forward. We're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll be back with the opening numbers in the stock market. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.